All right, let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Matthew and chapter number 8. The book of Matthew and chapter number 8. We're continuing our journey through the book of Matthew. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, today we're going to open your word. It's the word that you've given to us. The word that you've given to us so that we can know you. We can know the power of your resurrection. That we can know everything that you've done for us to prepare us for eternal life. To help us understand the hope that we have that we will never perish. You've given us your word so that we can be thoroughly furnished unto every good work. Today, God, as we open your word, we just ask your Holy Spirit to open our hearts. We understand today that the natural man can't comprehend your word. But the Holy Spirit reveals to us your word. God, I need the power of the Holy Spirit in my heart so that I can preach your word. Your people need the power of your Holy Spirit in their heart so that they can receive the word. Each of us need your Holy Spirit to lead us through this life. We thank you, God, that you saw fit to give us your Holy Spirit. Didn't leave us comfortless. You didn't leave us without leadership. So I pray today that as we open your word, that your name would be glorified, your Son Jesus Christ would be glorified, and your Holy Spirit would be powerful in our midst. And lead us to love you and to serve you wholeheartedly. We pray, Lord, that if there's sin, that we will be convicted of it. I pray that you'll lead us in the ways of life everlasting. Thank you that you've given us this assembly, that where we can come together and we can encourage one another in your word and in fellowship, and we can bring glory to your name. Be with us today, we pray. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. So when we began this study in the book of Matthew, we mentioned to you that as we journey through this book of Matthew, that we would see the things that Jesus said and the things that Jesus did. Now we've just spent several weeks looking at the Sermon on the Mount, the things that Jesus said. Now we're going to dig into the things that Jesus did. Throughout the life of Jesus Christ, people wondered, is this the true Messiah? If you remember, even before John the Baptist's death, he sent some of his men to Jesus and said, are you the one that should come, or are we to look for another? And so they were always looking, is this Messiah? And if you were looking, you were able to find out there were plenty of evidence. There was plenty of evidence. There is no doubt that Jesus is the Messiah. The evidence, there is evidence galore that Jesus is the Messiah. And that's the title of our message today, Evidence Galore. Today we're going to see as we look into the life of Jesus that Jesus was not just a man of words. He was a man of works also. He was a man of action. He was not just a speaker of the word, but he was a doer of the word also. What about you? James tells us not to be a hearer of the word only, but to be a doer of the word. So are you a Christian of action? Are you one that takes action for Christ? Are you one who does the Word? or are you a hearer only? Today we're going to again look at the works of Jesus and see the evidence galore which proves that Jesus is the Messiah. Our text today is going to be Matthew chapter number 8, verses 1 through 17. But let's remember this also, that Jesus says in the book of John chapter number 10 and verse number 38, He says, "But if I do, though you believe not me, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in Him." So, if you don't believe what I say, believe what I do. Because what I do is evidence that I'm the Messiah. Now, just a little side note here. That verse is going to be key at church camp this year. Because we're going to be thinking about the evidence that proves that Jesus is the Messiah and evidence to help us know why I'm a Christian. But I don't want to dig off on that, you know, chase that rabbit too much. Matthew chapter number 1, verses, or chapter number 8, verses 1 through 17, we will read. And it says, "When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith unto him, See thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of a palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, Go, and he goeth, and to another, Come, and he cometh, and to my servant, Do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid sick of a fever, and he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and he healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. The group of evidences, Matthew chapter number 8 and Matthew chapter number 9 are a grouping together, and they're a grouping of evidences. Again, we've heard what Jesus said. Now we're going to see what Jesus did, and we're going to see many miracles in these different groupings in Matthew chapter number 8 and Matthew chapter number 9. We're going to see 10 miracles that Jesus performed. One commentator says about this, that the chapters number 8 and chapter number 9 are divided like this: 3 miracles and 2 discussions about discipleship. 3 miracles and 2 discussions about discipleship. And then 3 miracles, 3 miracle stories. A total of 10 miracles are involved there. See, what we're going to see here is that Jesus has the authority over sickness and sin. As we look at these stories, one of the things that we want to recognize, and this is just a general comment about all the Gospels, they are not necessarily all written in chronological order. Each one of the authors of the Gospels are writing and placing their thoughts in groupings to try to prove a point, to try and bring about a thought, to try to communicate to you a certain thought. The point that Matthew is trying to communicate is that Jesus is the Messiah. And so, we're going to see now today 3 different events where Jesus shows that He has authority over sickness and sin. And so the first example that we see is in verses 1 through 4 where we see that Jesus heals a leper. And in this, we're seeing that Matthew is explaining to us that Jesus is reaching out to those who are ceremonially unclean. And we're going to see in this that Jesus is coming to fulfill the Scripture. Remember what we learned earlier in the Sermon on the Mount, that Jesus said, "I didn't come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it." And so we're going to see what does Jesus do? Jesus fulfills the law. What did He tell the leper that was healed in verse number 4? He said, "Go and show thyself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them." He's fulfilling the law. He didn't set the law aside. He said, "You've been healed. You go follow what the law says in this there." You get down to verse number 17. You also, that it might be fulfilled. He came there to fulfill prophecy. And so, He fulfilled the law of purification and the law, and He fulfilled prophecy. And fulfillment is evidence. There's evidence that He's the Messiah in that He's saying, "Listen, I'm going to fulfill Scripture. And so, go and do what the law says." He fulfilled that. "I'm going to fulfill Scripture. Isaiah made a prophecy. I fulfilled that." Scripture's here. This fulfillment that Jesus is performing is evidence that Jesus is the Messiah. Now when we think about leprosy and this man who is a leper, we know we understand as we study through the Scripture that leprosy was a dreaded disease. Someone who was determined to have leprosy was cast out of the city and they had to go live alone outside. And in a lot of cases they were in leper colonies and until they could be proven to be clean, they had to live alone and isolated from their families and isolated from society until they were proven clean. And if you come in contact with one who was a leper, you would be unclean. And Jesus comes to this leper. And this leper, He meets this leper. And the leper, it says, worshiped Him. And the leper said, "Lord, if Thou canst," or if Thou wilt, "Thou canst make me clean." Now, we're not really sure here about the leper. Is he a believer in Christ in that he has been born again? We're not exactly for sure yet. But He did call him Lord, which is the word kurios, which means supreme in authority. This leper comes to Jesus and he recognizes, "You are the one that has supreme authority. And because I recognize you have supreme authority, I believe that if you want to, you can heal me." Let's not forget this. Jesus said, "All power or all authority is given unto me in heaven and earth." Jesus possessed all the authority of heaven. He was God incarnate. Every power that God had, Jesus possessed. Jesus is God in the flesh. That is the deity of Jesus. All authority rests. All the authority of heaven, all the authority of God rests in Jesus. That's the reason, by the way, that Jesus could send out the churches, because He had the authority to do that. He didn't necessarily give His authority to the church. He just said, "I have the authority, and that's why I'm going to send you out." But He possesses that authority. He possesses supreme authority. And this leper believed in the authority of Jesus Christ. He believed in the power that Jesus Christ possessed. And so he came to Him and said, "If you want to, you can heal me." The question wasn't if Jesus could heal, but would Jesus heal? You know, there's a tremendous difference between those two, by the way. There's a tremendous difference between believing that Jesus can do something and believing that Jesus will do something. Believing that Jesus can do something does not require faith. It just requires knowledge. But believing that Jesus will do something requires faith. You have to believe that He will do this. And that's a problem with lots of people. A lot of people believe and have the knowledge that Jesus possesses a certain ability. But do they believe that He will do what He has the power to do? That's where faith comes in. So Jesus exercises His supreme authority, in this case, in choosing when to heal. What we know as we look out into this world and we look at the sicknesses that is in this world, we know that God has chosen to allow sickness in this world. When man sinned and death passed upon all men, part of that is sickness. And all of us are going to experience that. Every time we get sick, whether it's the common cough, whether it's the allergies that's in the air, or whether it's cancer or some other dreaded disease, all disease that is in this world is the result of the fall. It's the result of sin. And we're all going to experience that because one day we're all going to die. That's the way it is. So God's chosen to allow sickness. But He is allowing it for His glory. And when God chooses to exercise His supreme authority over sickness, is entirely up to His sovereign will. He can heal sickness anytime He chooses to do so. It's His sovereign will. And we know that anytime He chooses to bring about healing, it is for His glory. And one of the things we must make sure that we maintain to do is that we always give God the glory anytime someone overcomes a sickness. You may go to the medical doctor, and the medical doctor may prescribe a treatment for you to overcome your sickness. But you only are able to overcome that sickness because God has chosen to allow that to happen. Man has no ability in and of themselves to provide health. Only through the power of God do we ever overcome any type of sickness. We want to make sure that we keep that in mind, that we give the glory to the person that deserves the glory, and that glory is always God's. Remember that. It's not the doctor. The doctor's just a tool. But you know what? We go to the doctor because that's the tool that God has chosen to use. So, you know, Jesus comes and He touches the leper. You know, there's something to be said for that. The power of the human touch. This leper, how long had it been since he had felt a human touch? How long had it been since, you know, maybe he was married and he was unable to, hug his wife. Or maybe he had little kids and his kids weren't allowed to come up and hug his leg. You know, whatever. I mean, how long had it been since he had been touched by a human? Jesus comes and touches him. There's significance there. Because to touch one that was a leper made you unclean. And Jesus was willing to put Himself in that position. He was willing to lower Himself and to enter into someone's pain to meet their need. That's what Christians do, by the way. Those who are following Jesus, they put themselves aside to reach down and to touch someone else's pain. We need more of that. We need more people who are willing to step out of their own comfort zone and reach
reach into someone else's pain.
Jesus did that. Jesus was willing to reach down to someone who was hurting to help them. Jesus took upon Himself this man's infirmity so that He could bring healing. And the amazing thing about this touch was, if anyone else would have touched this man, they would have become unclean. But Jesus, when He touched the unclean man, Jesus was not made unclean. He made the unclean clean. Aren't you glad that Jesus has done that for you today? If you are born again, understand that Jesus, when He touched your life, He took something that was unclean and instantaneously made it clean. He touched the leper and made the leper clean. The healing was immediate. There was no process in the cleansing. The cleansing became immediately, and this man was made clean every whit whole. And the man, the leper, says, If you will, you can make me clean. Here's what we want to understand. Whatever Jesus wills, happens. Whatever Jesus wills, happens. As I was reading this week, it seems like simple words, and we read over them quickly, and Jesus says, "I will be thou clean," and we just kind of pass that over, and we don't really think about that. But the man said, "If you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus says, "I will." Notice, "Be thou clean." There's impact in those words. It's what He wills, it's what He says, it's what's going to happen, and what He said happened instantaneously. What He wills happens. "I will be thou clean." Thankful that day that Jesus said that over me. "You're clean." Are you thankful the day that Jesus said that over you? "You're clean. I will be thou clean." Not some process, not some, you got to do 7 different things in order to be saved. You got to do this, you got to do that. No, "I will be clean." Now, instantaneously, happens immediately. Jesus heals this one who was ceremonially unclean. The one who was, no one wanted anything to do, Jesus reached down and touched him. And you notice that Jesus doesn't seek any glory for Himself. He says, "Go and tell no man," in verse number 4, "but go thy way and show thyself unto the priest." And what did He say? "And offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them." I'm going to give you a little... This is where studying the Word of God gets exciting sometimes. Because I already titled the message, "Evidence Galore." That was already done. I knew what I was going to say. I'd already outlined the 3 points. And now I'm going through and I'm just studying each verse, studying words. When Jesus said, "Go and give the offering for a testimony unto them," you know what the word "testimony" means? Evidential. Go and give the evidence that you've been clean. I was like, man, that fit right in there, and I didn't even know it was there. And there it is, right there in the Word, and I didn't even get it. But there, God just didn't have it. But go and show the evidence. Jesus is the Messiah. And here's the evidence that I'm the Messiah. I make the leper clean. The Bible is full of evidence. Why am I a Christian? Because the Bible is full of evidence that Jesus is the Messiah. And I'm going to follow Him. Jesus providing evidence. Not only is he providing the evidence that the healing has taken place, but he's given evidence, I'm the Messiah. I'm the one who is the Son of God. I'm the seed of David. I'm the one that's crushed the serpent's head. The one who made covenant with Israel. I'm Jehovah. I am. That's who I am. I am. Evidence. Right here in the text. But not only does Jesus reach out to the one that is ceremonially unclean, but he reaches out to the centurion who is a Gentile. If you were with us last week, we studied that the Jews were to be a blessing to all nations. Remember, the Abrahamic seed was to be a blessing to all nations. And we know that the Jews didn't do that. Remember, they considered the Gentiles to be outcasts. They didn't want anything to do with them because they weren't of Abraham's seed, so they considered the Gentiles to be dogs, and they didn't want anything to do with them. What Jesus do early in his ministry? He reaches out to all peoples. Luke 2:10 says this about Jesus. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Jesus has not just come to be a blessing to the Jews only. He has come to be a blessing to all people. And what does Jesus do when he comes off the mount? And he wants to perform the works of his Father. What does he do? He reaches out to those who are ceremonially unclean, and he reaches out to those who are outcasts. And the centurion comes and says, you know, hey, my servant is sick. Verse number 6 of the palsy, grievously tormented. So we want to remember this, that also about the Gospels, that the Gospel writers, they don't record every word and work of Jesus. This is not an autobiography. It's not a biography. It's not, you know, it's not everything there is to know about Jesus. It's what God wants us to know. And Matthew is writing it in such a way to help us see and understand that Jesus is the Messiah. And so that's the point of view that Matthew is trying to get across. And when he groups these miracles together, he's pointing to something. And here, what he's pointing to is that Jesus is coming for the ceremonial unclean, and he's coming to be a blessing to all people, Jews and Gentiles alike. Remember this also, just a little side note, that when it talks about all in the Scripture, many times when it's talking about all people, it's talking about Jews and Gentiles. Not every single individual. It's all types of people, Jews and Gentiles. But the centurion understands something about Jesus. He understands the authority which Jesus possesses. You see, Jesus said out in verse number 7, I will come and heal him. And the centurion said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof, but speak the word only. In other words, I'm a man who has authority over 100 Roman soldiers, but I don't have your authority. I'm not worthy that you should come to my home because you have greater authority than I do. But once again we notice that Jesus says in verse number 7, I will come and heal him. Should not, well, I'm going to come and do the best, and I might be able to do something to help you out. I will heal him. When Jesus works, things happen. Matthew is recording the miracles of Jesus to show his power and authority. The prophecies concerning the Messiah are being fulfilled in Jesus. But the centurion feels unworthy. I have a lot to say about that man. And I have a lot to say about us too. How many times do we come and we say,
Well, God, I've been serving you the best I can, and you've got to do this for me. Or, why are you letting this happen to me, God? Or something like that, right? We kind of feel like God deserves to, He owes us to work in our lives.
The centurion doesn't say it. He says, Lord, look, I'm not worthy. You come to my house. Remember, the Bible says, Matthew 23:12, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. The centurion feels unworthy because of his command. Sometimes people feel unworthy because of their duties. I can imagine how unworthy for salvation a soldier might feel. I listened to a podcast called Don Carlin's Hardcore History. And Don Carlin is talking about the Battle of Guadalcanal. He's talking about the soldiers who fought there. He said, you know what? We citizens, we don't really understand the history of what happened in the Pacific during the Second World War. He said, what we know and what we've seen has been sanitized. You know, they didn't show us the death that happened in the Pacific during the Second World War. Said, you know, when Life did their book that showed the pictures of the Second World War, you know, you might have seen a few dead Americans, but they were in one piece. They said, on Guadalcanal, or in that area in the Pacific, one out of every four deaths, American deaths, were by friendly fire. And most of the deaths happened in a tragic way. And many of the men that fought there were mentally unstable because they experienced death. They saw their buddies being shot and hit by shrapnel. And what was on the inside was on the outside. They even told of one account to where the captain, all of a sudden, you got hit in the side of the face, and what you got hit in the side of the face with was your captain's hand with his West Point ring still on it. Dan Crenshaw, Haley was telling about this yesterday, that Dan Crenshaw said that when he was going into battle, the way they knew that the IED had gone off is when their interpreter's leg hit them in the chest. We don't know what soldiers... I'm telling you all this to let you see. We don't know what soldiers go through. I don't have any idea about the death and the carnage that they have seen. We didn't know about the cannibalism that happened in the Pacific because people didn't have enough food to eat. That's happened on the Japanese side, not the American side. But anyway, here's this soldier. This is a Roman soldier. And what was his duty? His duty was to kill. How many people's lives has he taken? He's telling other people to go and kill. Do you think he feels worthy for Jesus to come to his house? No. You know, sometimes we see a Roman soldier and we forget. He's a Roman soldier. Mean and ruthless. A killing machine. But he's got a servant that's sick. And he knows that Jesus can heal. I'm not worthy for you to come to my house. I'm a man under authority. I have authority. I'm not worthy for you to come to my house. You know what? We would be so much better off if we would see our own unworthiness. You know, we're not worthy to be here in this house today worshiping Jesus. But we're sinners. Our heart is desperately wicked. We don't deserve the blessings of God. Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing. Call for songs of loudest praise. Do we deserve that kind of blessing? Absolutely not. And this centurion experienced a miracle because he understood his own unworthiness. Jesus came because this guy said, I'm not worthy that you come into my house. So let me just add a little side note. If you see a veteran of some type of war that you know was involved in some sort of action, you probably have no idea what they've seen and what they've experienced. Have some compassion for them. Because inside their heart is death and destruction. And they've seen it. And they've done it. Have some compassion for them. Because they're hurting on the inside. But here's this man of authority, and he comes, and Jesus comes, and he's going to heal. And it's difficult for me to kind of say it correctly, but the centurion's faith was not in the man Jesus. The centurion's faith was what he understood Jesus to be, more than just a man. He was a man who possessed the authority of heaven. And the reason I'm going to believe in him is because he doesn't have human authority like I have. He has the authority of heaven. And the centurion believed in who Jesus is. And Jesus comes to his home, and we find out that the servant is healed. And Jesus says, verse number 13, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. The healing was proportional to the centurion's faith. The healing happened immediately, but it was according to the centurion's faith. Hey, sometimes what happens in our life according to our faith, maybe the reason that we don't see God move in a mighty way is because we don't have enough faith. We don't believe that He can, or we don't believe that He will. I got to leave you a little quick note there about those, the children of the kingdom shall be cast into outer darkness in verse number 12. The children of the kingdom there are the physical heirs of Abraham. It's the physical seed of Abraham. You see, the Jews thought they were all that because they had Abraham as their father. And when Jesus is saying the children of the kingdom, he's talking about the physical seed of Abraham who will not believe in Jesus are going to be on the outside looking in. They're going to be outside where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And by the way, we need to make mention of that also. There is a place of punishment for those who will not believe in Jesus. There's a place of eternal destruction where those who will not believe in Jesus will suffer for eternity. We cannot forget about that. Let me quickly go and talk about Peter's mother-in-law for just a second. Verse 14 says, Peter's wife's mother lay sick of a fever. So we saw he was going to the ceremonial unclean. We saw Jesus reaching out into the Gentile. And now we're going to see him reaching to the marginalized. You see, women were marginalized in this time. But the Scripture wants us to see that Jesus, the ministry of Jesus reaches to all people. And that women were impactful and necessary. And that's why you often read of the women mentioned in the storyline of Jesus. And Jesus heals her fever. But here again is another place where we don't really get a full picture of this. Because if we get a fever today, we just, you know, go down to the doctor and, you know, get us some Tylenol and Motrin, you know, rotate every 4 hours, you know, get some kind of antibiotic or something to help you take care of that fever. give you some kind of medication. But you know, in days gone by when there was no such thing as ibuprofen or acetaminophen or Motrin or Tylenol or whatever, when there was none of those days, how did you treat a fever? Pack them in ice. Did they even have, I was thinking about this morning, did they even have ice during the days of Jesus? They lived there, you know, around Jerusalem. Did they even know what ice was? I don't know, but if someone had a fever, I mean, fever, if someone had a fever, that's death. Fever's fearful for them. So there's no doubt that they're thinking she's going to die. And Jesus comes and heals her of that fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered. You know, just another little side note here. What do you feel like when you have a fever? Even after you're kind of, oh man, the fever's broke, still how do you feel? You're drug out, and you're worn out, and you know, you don't feel like doing anything in life for a little while. She, immediately, her fever was taken away, and what'd she do? She got up and ministered to them. It seems to me she didn't even feel the after effects of the fever. Made every whit whole. The completion. It was a complete healing. So not only does he reach to the marginalized when he reaches out to women and brings them into the story, but also the demon possessed. Think about this. Where did the demon-possessed often dwell? The graveyard? The outskirts? They were marginalized. And Jesus healed them. But this time it was not with his touch, but with his word. So he's showing people, I'm the Messiah. If I touch you, I can heal you. But it's not only just my touch. I just speak the word. The power of Christ is such that it doesn't require his touch. He just speaks the word. He healed all that were sick. No, that was what Jesus did, by the way. He healed all that were sick. He didn't just pick and choose. He healed all that were sick. There's no limit to his power. But here we get the concluding thought. Why? Why did he do all of this? Verse 17, that might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. That's Isaiah 53:4, by the way. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. As I've already mentioned, sickness and death are a penalty of the fall. And Jesus bore both the guilt of sin and the penalty for sin. When Jesus died on the cross, he bore the guilt and the cure of sin. Healing comes because Jesus died. If there was no death by Jesus, there would be no possible healing. He bore our iniquities. He bore our infirmities. He bare our sicknesses. The reason that we can have the hope of having health and being healed is because of Jesus. The wages of sin is death. And the only reason that death didn't happen immediately is because God knew that Jesus was going to come and bear the infirmity. He was going to bear the curse of sin. He's going to provide the means of health. If you're healthy today, it's because of the death of Jesus. Physically and spiritually. He bare our infirmities. He bare our sicknesses. The only hope for health. And you know, here's the thing about it. Those people out there that deny God, they're only healthy because Jesus bare sins on the cross. They wouldn't be physically healthy if Jesus didn't bear sins on the cross. But he's fulfilling Scripture. Now, this doesn't mean that every sickness will be healed, but it's the only way sickness can be healed. So we're looking forward to that time when there'll be no sickness, no sorrow, no pain, no death. So when Jesus is healing, He's saying, look, I have the power to heal. There's coming a day in My kingdom when there'll be no sickness, no sorrow, no pain, and no death. And so He's healing. Like last week we said, every time we join together, we're getting a foretaste of heaven. Every time we go to the doctor and we get a prescription and our fever leaves, that's a foretaste of what it's going to be like when there's no sickness, no sorrow, no pain, no death. You see, what we're experiencing here is not what it's going to be. And Jesus is saying, I've got the power to take away sin. I've got the power to take away the curse of death. And when I want to, I can remove it completely. But there's coming a day when it'll be gone forever. So trust in Me, because I'm the Messiah who has the power over sickness and pain and death. Jesus is loudly proclaiming He is the Messiah. He speaks not only with words, but with actions. Today we all need to see the evidence that Jesus is the Messiah. Every recorded event in the life of Jesus proves that He is who He says He is. We just need to share it. See it and share it. Some need to believe it. Will you believe the evidence provided by Jesus? There's evidence galore. But will you believe it? Will you believe in the authority of Jesus? Authority over sickness. The authority over pain. The authority over death. That no matter who you are, no matter what, how society might view you, He can reach out to you and change your life. Every type of person, Jesus has the authority. Will you follow Him today? Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time we have to be in Your house today. We thank You for Your Word. And I pray that Your people will see the authority that You possess. And I pray, God, not only will they know it, but they will believe it. And we thank You for the evidence galore that we find in Your Word. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.